Good morning, once again. It's good to be here with you all on the Sunday morning. And as you know, that we are doing a series on what is heaven like. And we have been learning from the Bible what heaven will be like. And I must remind you that we are approaching these topics with the attitude of fear and trembling, because simply we do not know a lot, or I should say everything about what will happen when we die, what we will do actually in heaven. So I might not have gotten everything right. I'm sure I might have made some conjectures and guesses, but I guess we will find out when we go to heaven. But I have to humbly say that I will try my best to expound from the Word of God and present what the Bible wants us to know about heaven to the best of the ability that God has given me. So we have looked at a few topics over the past weeks, and but one thing we haven't spent a lot of time talking about in detail is what will we do in heaven. Yes, we did talk about what the dead in Christ will do in heaven, or paradise slash Abraham's bosom. So the dead in Christ are those who have gone before us, and now in the intermediate stage. And I said, when I said intermediate stage, I meant that it is not a permanent stage, a permanent state yet, because paradise slash Abraham's bosom is just a temporary place of dwelling for the saints. And eventually we will go living in the new heaven and new earth. Of course, some people will ask me, what about the millennial kingdom? We will talk about that probably the next time when we meet. And so be patient. I will touch on that as well, but not today. And mainly we'll be talking about the new heaven and new earth. And if you're wondering, what about the new Jerusalem, what it will be like? Yes, the Bible does talk about that. And we will also talk about the new Jerusalem, hopefully in the next message. But I will concentrate what we will do in new heaven and new earth. And so whenever I said heaven, I'm referring to the new heaven and new earth mainly for today. So some people think that heaven will be a boring place. But no, heaven will be far from boring. It will be full of action and activity. Heaven is not just eternal life, but eternal living. And so if you plan to plan your retirement, and it's better to plan your retirement in heaven. But anyway, you actually don't get a retirement in heaven, because as we shall see, you will also have to work in heaven. So we will touch on that shortly. But for now, let us look at some of the things that we will do in heaven. And a couple of things I'd like to mention. I think in your outlines I listed about six things that we will do in heaven. And on the seventh point, I listed five things that we will not do or will not be in heaven. And I promise that it won't be a two-hour sermon. I try to explain each point briefly so that you will understand in what the Bible wants us to know about heaven, or what we will do in heaven. Firstly, we will worship. We will definitely worship God. Now, I would like to read the two passages of scriptures from the book of Revelation. So it will be handy that you can turn to that passages as well as I read them. And the first passage is from Revelation chapter 5, and then we will go on to chapter 7. So 5, verse 11 to 14, I will read, is that I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels run about the throne and the beast and the elders. The beast and the elders, I believe the beast referring to the angelic beings. And the elders are not angels because angels were never referred to as elders. So if you look up the commentaries, they will say elders, to 24 elders, probably refers to representative of the church. So now we have the angelic beings and the church, the saints, God's people, the redeemed. And then the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. I don't even know the number there. That means there will be myriads of people. And it's uncountable. It cannot be counted. And saying with a loud voice, this is what they will say and will do, the activity that they will be engaging in, that is, they will say, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth, under the earth, and such are as are in the sea, and all that are in them heard I saying, and this is another saying here, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that is sitteth upon the throne and upon unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four be said, Amen. And the 24 elders, which is the elders that we mentioned in verse 11, the 24 elders, then the elders, they are the same people, and which is representative of the church. And they will say, they fell down and worship him, and that liveth forever and ever. That's Revelation 5. Now we'll see another picture mentioned in Revelation 7, verses 9 to 10. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, again, the number cannot be counted, there are too many of them, which no man could number, of all nations and kindred and people and tongues, stood before the throne. That means people from all over the world, all over, and every ethnic groups, tongues and kindreds will be there, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb which is slain before the foundation of the world. Now, when you read the book of Revelation, and if you turn to chapter 21, and it seems to say that there is no temple in heaven. And John witnesses say in Revelation 21, it says, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty, the Lamb, are the temple of it. Why there's no temple, according to Revelation 21? Well, because God is the temple, or you could say all of the heaven is the temple. But others point out that in Revelation chapter 7, verse 15, says that there will be a temple in heaven. And it reads, therefore are they before the throne of God and serving him, or serve him, and we will talk about that as well, we will be in heaven serving God. Serve him day and night in his what? In his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. So, which is which? Would there be a temple? Well, or would there not be a temple? Frankly speaking, I don't know. Okay? But I'm inclined to believe that all of heaven will be filled with the glory and presence of God, and we will worship him there in the beauty of his holiness. Whatever the case, when we get to heaven, we will finally fulfill the chief end of man. What is that? It's just to glorify God and enjoy him finally forever. So heaven will not be a boring place. We will enjoy God forever. We will come to that again, the idea of enjoying him. Because we as human beings were designed to worship God. And it is what we were made to do. And we were made to worship God in eternity. And therefore, only worshiping God makes us complete. and fulfilled and satisfied in a real and eternal sense. And there's a lot that we can learn from about worship in the two passages we just read, Revelation 5 and 7. But one thing I'd like to mention from the book of Revelation 5 is that there's a phrase there. It says, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power." Now, let us be reminded that in our future worship in heaven, everything will be revolved around one person and what he has done for us. That is the Lord Jesus Christ, what he has done for us. And that is basically the essence of the gospel. Now, whenever we tell people about Christ and the way of salvation, we may tell the people, we may tell the person a lot of things about what Jesus has done and or what the Bible is saying about the gospel. But mainly two things, who Jesus is, what he has done for us, is the essence of the gospel. And of course, everything else can come later. I'm not saying that everything else is not important. What I'm saying is that you tell the person who Jesus is. He's the eternal Son of God. And it was a lamb which was slain before the foundation of the world. And he came to this world to die for your sins on the cross and rose again on the third day. And that simply is the gospel. Everything else can come later. And the person should study the Bible more after that. But that is also the focus of our worship in heaven. And it should be the same when we worship God here on earth. We focus on the Lord, person of the Lord Jesus Christ, not on the person, not on a person who is leading the worship service. And today, in our day and age, contemporary worship says basically, I was, lack of a better word, desecrated the true worship of God. They are focusing on a person, a man, and the singing and the entertainment, and it's not focusing on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ anymore. And the worst thing that they have done is that they have removed the preaching of the Word of God faithfully from the pulpit. And if you go to some churches, you will know that if the pulpit is in the center like us, it's good. We honor the preaching of the Word of God. That is very good. We go to some churches, they try to remove the pulpit to the side. Now, if you go to Providence, we can't really move the pulpit to the center. There's a pulpit right at the back, a big one. And I find that too tall and too high to climb up there. And we have a podium. It is right on the side. It is not by our choice that we have the pulpit on the side because we are borrowing basically a place of worship from another church. So we need to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and his revealed word in our worship service. And that's exactly how we should worship God here now, and that's exactly how we will worship God in heaven. And Jonathan Edwards writes, and some of you love Jonathan Edwards for those who are studying theology, and it says, "When the souls of the saints leave their bodies to go to be with Christ, they behold the marvelous glory of that great work of his, the work of redemption, and the glorious way of salvation by him, which the angels desire to look upon." Unquote. Now, if you are a believer, I'm sure most of you are, the most deeply moving and fulfilling moments in your life on earth are those times of worship when you experience the wonder of God and drawn closer to his presence by the Spirit of God. And rightly so. And when was the last time that you come to the worship service hearing the hymns being sang by the congregation and by you yourself, and your tears sort of streaming down your cheek, and your hearts are filled with thanksgiving, with gratitude? And that is a piece of heaven here on earth. And I think you must treasure that moment. And imagine that you will have that kind of experience forever and ever in heaven as you worship the Lord in eternity. Of course, however the experience, however great the experience that you have here on earth through worship, yet you cannot even begin to compare your worship, our worship, in heaven. And as we go to heaven, everything will be even better, infinitely better. And you will sing and you will say with the rest of the saints and also with the angelic host these things: "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And he will say, together with all, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." And he will say with the rest, "Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb of God." Remember, our worship here on earth is just a foretaste of all that is to come. And so what will we do in heaven? First of all, we will worship. We will worship. Secondly, we will fellowship. Now, we talked about that last week. And we talked about the saints which have gone before us. They will be in paradise. And they will be in / Abraham's bosom. And they will get to fellowship with the saints. And I'd like to read to you one more passage from Hebrews 12, verse 22 to 23. It says, "But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, and to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the just men made perfect." So, as I said, these same people who went to paradise in Abraham's bosom will also be found in new heaven and new earth. And we will get to worship, we will get to fellowship with them, because that is the final and eternal state. And not only there will be saints both from the Old Testament and the New Testament, but there also be angels whom you can meet and fellowship with. By the way, when we go to heaven, angels will be our servants. And the Bible says, and seems to say, that we will reign over them. And we will go to that later. Okay? And so, hang on a thought for a moment. So we get to fellowship with the saints and also with the angels, I believe. And I like one writer says about heaven, what we will do in heaven regarding fellowship. And then I quote, "In heaven, we will have fellowship like never before. Imagine having the unlimited opportunity and limited time, I guess, to fellowship with people from all ages of history, even people we have only read about in books. We will be able to know and fellowship with our Lord in a way that we cannot possibly comprehend. Our Savior will be our personal friend, and we will fellowship with Him forever and ever." So, two things. What will we do in heaven? Number one, we will worship. Number two, we will fellowship. Third, we will serve. Yes, we will serve the Lord God. In Revelation 7:15, and it says, therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. Okay, now we mentioned this verse just now. Would there be a temple? One passage in Revelation 21 says there's no temple. And Revelation 7:15 says it seems there's a temple. But the focus here, I want to draw attention to this, is that we will be in he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. So, we will serve the Lord. That is the focus I want to draw your attention to. Again, Revelation 22, verse 3. Now you will be flipping a lot of verses in Revelation, so you may want to put a finger in there. And probably you'll run out of fingers because we'll be, you know, flipping a lot of verses. Anyway, Revelation 22, verse 3. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And isn't that an interesting picture there? And we often think that serving God is something that is limited to this lifetime. But no, many of us think that we will serve him in heaven, that is, new heaven and new earth. In Revelation 22:3, the verse we just looked at, clearly tells us that his servants shall serve him. Who are his servants? We are his servants. We are his people. We serve him. And I want to draw your attention again also to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians in the New Testament, chapter 2, verse 10. And it says, for we are his workmanship, and we quote this verse a lot to encourage people to serve the Lord, and rightly so, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now again, we use this verse to encourage people not only to serve the Lord, but also to do good works after we're saved. We're not saved by good works, but good works should follow after one's salvation or conversion. But I think we shouldn't lose sight of the fact that God has also prepared good works for us to do in heaven. Not in the clouds, but new heaven and new earth. Let's face it, everyone serves someone. Everybody, even non-Christians, serve someone. If you're a non-believer, you are serving someone. My question is, who do you serve right now? Who we will be serving in the future? Now, if you're a believer, get ready for a promotion because you're going to be promoted as the servant of the Most High God, literally before his presence. If you are a non-believer, my friend, I hate to break this to you. The Bible says that you are serving sin and the devil. And when you die, you will join your master in a place of torment, eternal torment, called a lake of fire. So I pray that you will repent of your sins today and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to escape the wrath of God that is to come before that is too late. And so what we will do in heaven, first of all, we will worship. Secondly, we will fellowship. Third, we will serve. Fourth, we will work. Now we read about new heaven and new earth in Isaiah 65, the passage we have just read, in verse 21 to 23. It says, "And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. And mine elect," verse 22, "shall long enjoy the work of their hands." And verse 23. "They shall not labor in vain," and which I think Elder Colin mentioned just now in his prayer, "and nor bring forth for trouble, for they are seed of the blessed of the Lord." Now, some of you may say, "I thought when we go to heaven, we don't have to work." And well, according to the Bible, your work is not over when you leave this world. And it might be a bad news for those of you who are already retired. And you will have to work. And that's a good thing. And we were created to work, to find fulfillment in our work. And that is how God designed us to do. And but you will find that there is, you know, for those of you already retired or plan to retire, you'll find there's no retirement plan in heaven. And so some of you say, "I thought work is a curse, and so I assume that there won't be work in heaven." Well, work is kind of like a curse right now because of the fall. Still, it doesn't negate our responsibility to work to provide for our families here and now. I say it is kind of cursed because it's become a toil and labor after the fall because God has put a curse on work, but it won't be in heaven. Revelation 22, again, verse 3 says, "There shall be no more curse." And so work won't be a toil and labor. It will be a blessing. Sometimes we even say to ourselves, what is the point of working so hard? Well, Isaiah 65, verse 23 says, "In heaven we will no longer labor in vain." In other words, everything you do will satisfy to the fullest of your joy. According to one author, N.T. Wright writes in his book, Surprised by Hope, I quote, "There will be work to do and we shall relish doing it. And the skills and talents we have put to God's service in this present life," and notice it says, "and perhaps too, the interests and likings we gave up because they conflicted with our vocation will be enhanced and given back to us to be exercised to His glory." So this author, not just this author, but other authors suggest that if you are a musician, you will continue to be a musician in heaven. That is near earth, right? Playing the piano, perhaps, playing the harps, playing the violins or whatever, the cello, you will continue to maybe improve on your skills. And if you are, serving the Lord in whatever capacity you are, you'll continue to improve your skills. And that's what these authors suggest. And again, I must say, I don't know enough to tell you more. But, I believe it is likely so that we will continue to use the gift and talents that God has given us to continue to serve Him in heaven, new earth, and new heaven. So what we will do in heaven, first of all, we will worship. Second, we will fellowship. Third, we will serve. Fourth, we will work. And fifth, we will rest. Isaiah 57, verse 2 says, "He shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness." And you might say, if I had the glorified body, why do we still need to rest? Will we not be full of energy and never need to rest? And maybe not. And I'm sure that you won't die or grow old. But one thing I know for sure is that while we will have a glorified body, we will still just be glorified human beings. We won't become little gods with infinite amount of powers. When I say gods, with a small g's. We don't become gods with infinite amount of power and energy. We will still be human beings, but glorify human beings. By the way, when we go to heaven, I believe there's still a limitation placed on us. We will we will not be omniscient for sure, and we will not be omnipresent. And so there will be a limit. There will still be a vast gap between us, the glorified human beings, with God. God will still be God, and we'll just be glorified human beings, still with limits. So we will need to rest, maybe, unless the rest in Isaiah here spoken of is a figurative speech or in a spiritual rest kind of sense. I guess we'll find out when we go to heaven. So, what we will do in heaven, first of all, we will worship. Second, we will fellowship. Third, we will serve. Fourth, we will work. Fifth, we will rest. Lastly, we will rule. And this is an interesting concept. And not a lot of about this is said and mentioned in the Bible. So we need to tread on this concept carefully. We read in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, about the first man and the woman. And God blessed them and said to them, verse 28, and God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, the earth, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. I want to draw attention to the phrase that God said to Adam to subdue it, the earth, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Now, obviously, we are not in control and dominion over the earth right now, because you can't call a bird down and say, hey, come down. Or you can command the crocodile not to bite you into pieces. We can't really do that. You can already play with the lions and assuming that the lions won't eat you up. You see, but we were designed to rule and to take dominion of the earth originally. And that task has been given to Adam and Eve. They are supposed to co-rule and co-reign, so as king and queen. And we have lost a privilege and position to reign as kings and queens in Adam because of the fall. But now, through Christ, we have recovered the privilege and position in him, and it will be fully realized when we go to heaven. And I think I mentioned that a couple of months ago at the Easter conference, that we are kings and queens right now. Yes, in certain sense, but it will not be fully realized until we go to heaven. And the Bible says we will reign with him, reign with Christ. So in heaven, we will rule and reign with Christ over the new heaven and new earth. And this is why Revelation 5:10 says, and he has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And again, we also read in Revelation 22, same book, verse 5, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And I'd like to turn to you, refer to you one more passage in Matthew chapter 25. And this is a familiar passage to most of us. And you remember Jesus said this in Matthew 25, verse 21. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I think that is something that we all want to get and hear from our Lord when we go to heaven. Right, that's the only thing I actually ask for when I go to heaven. Nothing else. Thou art a good and faithful servant. That's all I want to hear from our Lord. So, and he said, thou hast been faithful over the few things, and I will make thee ruler over many things. So if you are faithful in the small things, you'll be given greater tasks and more things to do in the future. So reward for being faithful is to do more in the future. And I know some pastors actually joke around this and say, well, if you are faithful in the small things, and the reward is to be granted with more responsibilities, to do more in the church. And anyway, but it is so true when we go to heaven. If you're faithful right here and now, God will reward you with more responsibilities, and that has to do with reigning with him. And naturally, it raises another question that you probably you know, want to ask, you know, with, and it probably your heart is burning and wanted to ask this question, who will we be reigning then? Who will be ruling? It seems everybody is so glorified. And I believe we will be ruling over angels and even judging them. Well, because Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3, he says, know ye not that we shall judge angels? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3. Well, obviously, we are not reigning and judging angels right now. He says, knowing that we shall judge angels, we have to assume that he's referring to our eternal state, new heaven and new earth. Judging, I believe, is part of reigning, and I believe they are used synonymously here. And to exactly how we will be reigning over angels and judging them, I really don't know. The scripture has not given us enough information, but that is an interesting thing, interesting thought. And I don't want to dive in too much into it because I really don't know. It is beyond my comprehension. Reigning over them, judging them. As I said, angels will be our servants. We will be higher than them. Anthony Huckema, one author, says in his article, it says, heaven, not just an eternal day of, that is the title of his article. It says something interesting. I quote, the possibilities that now arise before us boggle the mind. Not just his mind, it boggles my mind too. Will there be better Beethoven on the new earth? And one author has just suggested, shall we read better poetry, better drama, better prose? Will scientists continue to advance in technological achievement? Will geologists continue to dig out the treasures of the earth? And will architects continue to build imposing and attractive structures? And by the way, when he says, will geologists continue to dig out the treasures of the earth, he's assuming that the new earth will be made out of the existing earth. And which, of course, other people would disagree. They will say, well, the new earth will be a brand new earth. The old earth will be completely destroyed, and God will make a completely new earth. But anyway, this is his comments. Will there be exciting new adventures in space travel? We do not know. I do not know either. But we do know, what we do know is that human dominion over nature will then be perfect. Our culture will glorify God in ways that surpass the most fantastic dreams. Again, these are his guesses. These are not from the scriptures, so don't blame me. I'm just quoting this author. So these are his guesses, and his guesses as good as his mind. So are you excited to go to heaven? By the way, I am excited to go to heaven. And so far we have talked about what we will do in heaven. And first of all, we will worship. Second, we will fellowship. Third, we will serve. Fourth, we will work. Fifth, we will rest. Sixth, we will rule. So that was the last point. And I'd like to finish off today's message by talking about what we will not do or be in heaven. And now I'm going to mention five things briefly, that what we will do, what we will not do, or what we will not be in heaven. And then, of course, I will discuss more of these points in detail, hopefully, God willing, next week and in the weeks to come. Now, number one, we will not be bored. Now, a lot of people think that we will be bored in heaven. Well, there's nothing to do. We'll be sitting on the floppy clouds, playing our harps forever and ever, singing praises to God. That's all we do. Of course, that's not what we would do. We mentioned that that's not all. All we do will be in the new earth and new heaven, doing lots of things, worshiping Him, and also fellowship with the saints and angels. And we will serve. We will work. And we will rule, and we will rest. And so we will not be bored. And why I mentioned one passage from Isaiah 65, and you want to turn to that, 17, verse 17 to 18. Why, behold, I create new heaven and new earth. Now, this is new heaven and new earth. Okay? And the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. And for all, behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. So when you see the city of New Jerusalem descending down from heaven, you will rejoice. And you have a question probably in mind. What, you know, do we get to spend time in New Jerusalem? The answer is yes. So that there will be New Jerusalem, there will be a new earth, and on top of that, New Jerusalem, and a new heaven, and there will be space, and all kinds of things. And so, now, but I want to draw attention to the key word here in Isaiah 65. The key word there is joy. If you are enjoying what you do, we'll be boring at the same time. I don't think so. It will be full of joy. There's no time for boredom. And I think the reason why we won't be bored, because God will place us exactly where we need to be to enjoy everything that He has created for us to enjoy. But I think the main reason why we won't be bored is because of God. One author writes, now this is interesting. Now notice what he says right at the end of the quotation. I quote, "Because we are with God and God is infinite, we never come to an end of exploring Him." You can ask God anything. Why is this thing so? Why did you foreordain this thing from coming to pass? Why do you allow this thing to happen? And you can get to know more about God's attributes and characters. And God is infinite. And we get to find out more about Him and learn more about Him every single day. And then He continues and says, He is new every day because we are with God and God is love. And He says, even on earth, the only people who are never bored are lovers. Do you agree with that? If you're in love with, and I must be careful here, with your, you know, boyfriend or girlfriend or a fiance or your wife and husband, you won't be bored. Now, simply put, if you are in love with God, in your perfect and eternal state and sinless state, why would you be bored? You won't. I think we will enjoy every second of it, if I could use the word second to quantify time in eternal state, because it won't be time, but you will enjoy every second of it. So in heaven, we can finally and really, as Westminster Confession of Faith, Shorter Catechism says, we get to finally enjoy Him forever and glorify Him, of course. So, you will not be bored in heaven. You can put that thought right out of your mind. Number two, we will not get hurt or be hurt. Isaiah 65, verse 25 again, "They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord." Revelation 21, verse 4, "There will be no more pain." There will be no more hurting, sickness, or pain in heaven. In heaven, nothing can ever harm us anymore. No sickness, no disease, no virus can harm us. There's no more arthritis. There's no more rheumatism. There's no more gouts. No more compromised disease and things like that. And so everything will be gone. Everything will be perfect. That's number two. Thirdly, we will not hunger or thirst. Now, we will talk about that next week in detail, but in Revelation 7, I would like to point out to you, in 7 verse 16 says, "They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb of God, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them, and shall lead them into unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away their, all their tears from their eyes. Then again, we wonder if the hunger and the thirst here referred to is in a symbolic sense or literal sense, or whether we will not feel and experience the negative effect of hunger or thirst in heaven. We don't know for sure, but I would like to talk about that next week. So what will we not do in heaven? You will not be bored, you will not get hurt, and you will not get hungry in heaven or thirsty in heaven. Again, we'll talk about that next week. Fourthly, we will not mourn and cry. Isaiah 65 verse 19, and I will rejoice in Jerusalem, joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. So no more crying, no more weeping. But Revelation 7:17 says, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. So does that mean, number one, that we will, and it puts the three passages I've just read, and includes the passage and phrases that tells us that we will not remember the former things, and the tears will be wiped away. But does that mean that we will not remember about the unpleasant experiences in the past, in this life? Does that mean that there will not be any sense of regret? Does that mean that we won't be thinking about our friends and relatives who are not with us in heaven? We will find out more about that next week. But hold on to thought. Hold on to that thought for a moment. But for now, we will know that we will not mourn or cry or weep, because God shall wipe away all our tears. Fifthly and finally, we will not sin or die, because heaven is a perfect place. One of the greatest great truths of the scriptures is that we will be perfected in heaven. Here on earth, we trust Christ as our Savior. We were saved first from the penalty of sin. And Christ has took upon the wrath of God, so we will not be punished for our sin. Then as we grow in Christ, we are being saved, and that is called sanctification, and it's a process, and we become more and more holy like Jesus as we become more and more be able to overcome the temptation of sin. But in heaven, we will be saved even from the presence of sin. The presence of sin will be totally eradicated. So in other words, in heaven, sin will be eradicated, and we will not sin in heaven, and we will not even desire to sin, since we will not sin, and therefore we will never die, or we'll have to die again. There's no sin in heaven. So who is excited to go to heaven again? I'm sure many of you are right now. So what we will do in heaven, firstly we will worship, and then we will fellowship, and we will serve, we will work, we will rest, and we will rule. And what we will not do in heaven, we will not be bored, we will not be hurt, and we will not hunger or thirst. We will not mourn or cry, we will not sin or die. Heaven is a perfect place designed for perfected people. Now, perfect not because you are perfect or finally you are able to achieve perfection. You go to heaven as perfected people because of what Jesus Christ has done for you. And nobody can achieve salvation on his own or her own. So let's remember that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and in Christ alone. And for those of you who are still outside of Jesus Christ, I pray that you will repent of your sins before it is too late. And we've been hearing a lot about what's going on in the world today. And again, I do not know when the Lord will return. But if you read Matthew chapter 24, and it says a lot about the signs of his return. There shall be wars and rumors of wars, the famine and earthquakes and pestilences and things like that is happening all over the world now. And not only happening, but happening in its increasing propensity and frequency. So, I pray that you will come to the Lord Jesus Christ today. And again, to believe that he is the eternal Son of God, that he came to this world to die for your sins on the cross and rose again on the third day. And in him alone you must trust. You must not rely on your own, because nobody can be saved by trusting in his work or deeds for salvation. And you must renounce every idols in your life. If you came from a Catholic background, you must renounce Mary as, you know, co-mediatrix with Jesus. That's not going to work. That means that they believe that Mary is equal to Jesus in providing redemptive work. No, you have to receive. You have to trust Jesus Christ and in him alone. So that's it. And that's the end of the sermon for today. The next Sunday, God willing, we will be answering the questions such as, what is the millennial kingdom? I think a lot of people are eager to know, because I have not mentioned this yet. And what is the new heaven and new earth and new Jerusalem look like? So far we talk about what is heaven like. Heaven is God's dwelling place. What will happen when a believer dies? You go to paradise, Abraham's vision. We talk about what will believers do in heaven, in new heaven, and we talk about what we will do, but what will it look like? What will it be like? We haven't talked about that in details. And then again, we'll talk about New Jerusalem next week. And will we be able to eat or drink in heaven? Right? Those of you who love eating probably want to find this out. And will there be animals in heaven and more? So let us look to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank thee once again for your divine revelation about heaven. Lord, there's just so much thing that we do not know and understand about heaven. Lord, we pray that you would help us to humble ourselves and before the mighty hands of God, so that we will humbly receive what thou is willing to reveal unto us about heaven. And thou hast revealed unto us that we will worship you, and we will fellowship with the saints and with the angelic host. We will serve you, we will work, we will rest, and we will rule with you. And we pray that you help us to model our present worship after the manner that we will be worshiping you in heaven, which is to focus on the person of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us, singing praises unto you and giving you all glory and honor that is due unto your name.